Hello and welcome back to Freedom by Faith Ministries. In today's topic, we're going to speak more about the idea of prayer as a battle strategy against the enemy Satan. We have looked at the different pieces of the armor of God, right? We're going to start with Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about the whole armor of God, putting on every single piece of the armor of God so that we can win every spiritual battle that we may face. Heavenly Father, so we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, Lord. We ask you to continue to give us wisdom and understanding of your word. We thank you, God, for the truth, the word of God, Jesus, who is the word of God. We thank you, Father, for your son and for giving us an opportunity to come to you boldly as your children to the throne of grace and mercy. We thank you, God, that you have given us wisdom and understanding, and we ask you to take control of this talk, of this episode today, Lord, to take control of my mouth, to say what you want your children who are listening to know. So we thank you, God, and we ask you to anoint this teaching, and we thank you for everything that we're about to learn today in the name of Jesus. So we have spoken a little bit about prayer in the last episode, and today we're going to continue to speak more about why prayer is so powerful. In the life of every believer, prayer is your source, it's your connection to heaven. And so when Jesus said to pray like this, my kingdom come, let Jesus's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we are the children of God, we belong to the body of Christ. We are ambassadors, right? We are the representatives of Jesus, who is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to have a connection to our king, right? So if you're an ambassador, you're a representative of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven, we must have a connection to the king. And so prayer allows us to have that connection with him. And so we're going to start again with Ephesians 6. And I know you probably have this memorized by now. We've been looking at it so many times. We've looked at it. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Verses 10 to 18, Paul says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So in previous videos, and if you haven't had the chance to do so, I would highly recommend that you look at all the previous videos on spiritual warfare. We have spoken about every single piece of the armor of God, including the truth. We spoke about righteousness. We spoke about peace. We spoke about faith. We spoke about salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the word of God, Jesus, who is the word of God. And so last episode, we spoke about prayer. In verse 18, Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times, not in your flesh, your opinion, what you think, what you feel, but in the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. It says here, pray in the Spirit. Spirit is in a capital S. So we know it's God, right? The Spirit of God at all times, and be persistent in your prayer. So after you have put in all of the pieces of the armor of God and you're facing a spiritual battle against the enemy, we must remain in prayer and pray in the Spirit of God. So we're going to look at a couple of examples of what that might look like. Did you know you have power over government, right? That seems shocking to some people probably, right? And so there's been many stories in scripture where prayer was able to take down kingdoms, right? And so we're going to look at just a couple of passages on examples of godly people who prayed and the entire course of that nation was changed, right? And so we have power, right? We are in a kingdom that is higher than the kingdom of darkness that we're in right now in this world, right? The kingdom of darkness governs this world, right? But because we belong to a different kingdom, a higher kingdom, we have more power than the kingdoms of this world. And if you remember when Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, look at all these kingdoms and all their glory. I will give them to you, right? And Jesus never contested and said, oh, you don't own these kingdoms. You don't run these kingdoms, right? And so because the earth is currently being run by the government of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, a kingdom is a government, right? Satan actually has power and control over kingdoms of this world, right? Because he has been given temporary authority, right? Satan was cast out of heaven into earth, and he is now the ruler of the world, is what the Bible says, right? And so when he says, look at all these kingdoms, he wasn't lying, right? I will give them to you. So he is a temporary ruler of these kingdoms, but because we belong to a kingdom that is much higher than the kingdoms of this world, we actually have power and authority over government if we do the will of God the way he assigned for us to do it as his ambassadors, as his representatives. So we're going to look at an example of that. There are many examples in the Bible about how prayer was able to take down nations. Nations were taken down. And we've spoken about Jehoshaphat, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. But we're going to start first with the book of Acts, chapter 12. So let's go ahead and start in verse 4. So this is basically a story of Peter who had to go to prison, right? The apostles were preaching about Jesus, and they were being thrown into prison and being persecuted. And so James had already been killed and he was persecuted. And King Herod, he liked the fact that the people were happy with him persecuting God's believers, right? He was persecuting the Christians who were preaching about Jesus. And so he wanted to keep that going, basically. So James had been killed and Peter has now been placed in prison and he was about to face possible persecution the following day. And so we're going to see exactly how prayer was able to change the outcome of Peter's life, right? So James was killed, and we know most likely the outcome for Peter was to be the same. But prayer changed that. So we're going to look at that in the book of Acts, verses 4, and we're going to go down to 8, and then we'll look at a little bit more later. So verse 4 says, then he imprisoned him. So this is King Herod. Imprisoned Peter, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. So that's basically 16, right? So each squad has four, and there's four squads. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him, right? Verse 6, the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep. Notice that Peter's not afraid. He's not worried, right? So if you're about to face trial, knowing James was persecuted, James was killed, and he's the next one, and you would think that Peter would be afraid, but he was a great man of faith at that point. He wasn't before. When Jesus was here, right, Peter was scared. He denied Christ, right? But now he's asleep, right? The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So prayer was able to break the chains of Peter in the prison, right? So God answered their prayers, right? So the kingdom at that point, where Herod is the king, he decided that Peter needs to go to trial, right? But a higher kingdom decided not so. But God intervened because of the prayers of the church, right? So look at how important this passage is. right? So the kingdoms of this world, the kings of this world make decisions. But remember, Jesus is the king above all kings, right? And he is the king that we are following. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. And so even though King Herod had made a decision that Peter is to go to trial the next day and he chained him up to multiple soldiers, it didn't matter because the church prayed to a higher king, Jesus, and he was free. So let's see what happened to Herod in response to the church's prayer. So we're going to move on the same book, chapter 12, but we're going to go down to verse 20 to 23. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. And so it's interesting that it says that King Herod sat on his throne, right? But Jesus is on his throne in heaven, right? And so he ultimately makes the decisions. So even though Herod is the king on his throne on earth, right? And he's giving orders, but because the church prayed and he was trying to stop the spread of the good news, right? Which is obviously not the will of God. Jesus told his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Not only was Herod trying to stop the spread of the good news, the gospels, but he was actually letting people think he's God, right? And so God wanted to show him and everybody else he's not. And so he was struck with a sickness and he died, right? Pride, rebellion. So it's important to know that all of these events happened because the church prayed, right? The church prayed to God. And he answered, and because he is the power and the authority over all kingdoms, they succeeded and they won that battle. So this is a great example of what it means to be an ambassador, that we can pray over governments and nations. The history of nations can change because of prayer, but we must remain faithful to God, right? Putting on all of the armor of God, having the breastplate of righteousness, knowing the truth, walking in peace, right? Having your helmet of salvation, holding up your shield of faith. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we must remain in faith. The Bible doesn't say because you are a Christian, you go to church every Sunday, that you can change nations. We have orders from our captain in this battle, right? Our commander in chief, and we must be obedient and humble before him, right? And so the church prayed and the history of what was to happen to Peter was changed, right? And the king was taken down because of prayer, right? And after that, the gospel was being spread, right? So Herod tried to stop the good news from being spread, and God said no to him because the church prayed. So let's move on to Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among you. So Jesus is among us. And he says, if two or three, right? So there's no army with just one person. Like you cannot be a lone ranger in the middle of a battlefield with all kinds of demonic attacks coming against you, right? So God is saying, if two or three are gathered on earth, right? My Father in heaven will do it for you, right? And Jesus is saying, I am there among you. Right? So our Father in heaven is hearing us when we're together, we're gathering, right? And Jesus is among us. And so we have to remember that we are not in this battle alone. God will hear our prayers, but it's so important that we come together as a body to pray. So that's why in the previous passage, we looked at Peter. He's in prison. He's not worried. He's asleep, actually. But the church, it doesn't say one person was praying for him. Not to say that God doesn't hear us when we pray alone. We should have one-on-one intimate time with our Father. But when you're in a situation that is dealing with a government, that is against the people of God, it is important that we come together, right? Not complaining, angry, you know, with the rioting that we're having in our nation here. Whenever people are upset, they take to the streets and they start rioting. That is not the will of God, right? We ought to come together as a body and pray, right? People underestimate the power of prayer, right? So that's a whole other topic about the riots and the picket signs and all this other stuff that people do. And they think that's going to change something, right? But the real change happens in prayer, right? When you go above the kingdom, the above the government that you're praying about, right? And you go to the kingdom of heaven, you go up front in front of the throne of heaven, right? The throne of God. And you ask him and you petition to God as a collective body, multiple powerful miracles can happen in that nation. And we don't take advantage of the power that we have as believers and the children of God. We have access to the highest kingdom in the whole universe, and we don't take advantage of that, of our position in this world as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, right? And so that's why there's so many Christians who are out there with their picket signs against the government, and they're not even praying, right? And so we're going to riot on Saturday and then go to church on Sunday. It makes no sense to God. It's not written in scripture that changes happen that way. And so we need to follow the instructions that God has given us, that prayer, fasting, being humble and obedient to God's word, and answers will come from heaven. And the final decision is made from the courts of heaven, not this government in this country or other nations, but the decision is made from the courts of heaven. So we must petition our position, our concerns for our nation to the highest court, which is the courts of Christ Jesus. He is the king above the presidents, above the governors, right? Above the city councils in our nations, in our communities. So we need to take our position and take our concern to our king. So that's really important to remember that. And so that's why we need to know the word of God, because if we don't know that, then we won't do the right thing and we won't see changes made, right? So let's move on to Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so this passage is really important because sometimes people are asking God for things that they know are the desires of God, is in the will of God. So when you're praying a prayer that you know is in the will of God, but it's not happening, notice that it says to keep on asking, right? So there's some prayers that are not being answered because that specific prayer requires persistence, right? And so we must remember to remain faithful to the word of God, so that his will be done, like on earth as it is in heaven, like he said to his disciples, right? So it says, keep on asking. It doesn't say ask one time. And if it didn't happen, well, I guess it's not God's will for me to be healed. Well, we know that's a lie, right? So by his stripes, you're healed. And so if you really believe that, and that you have faith that Jesus took stripes so that you will today be healed, and if you honestly believe that and you prayed and it didn't happen the first time, then somebody who's in faith is going to keep asking. Because you know what the word says. Healing is the will of God. He suffered, not just for our sins, but for us to be healed. So that's something that I've seen a lot in the Christian community. When people are not healed, when they prayed once or twice, and they'll say things like, oh, well, I guess it's not God's will for me to be healed. Well, that means the Bible's a lie then, right? So Jesus never took stripes for us to be healed. And that verse is really not the truth, right? And so some prayers require that we ask, and we keep on asking, and we keep on asking, and we keep on asking, right? Keep on seeking, and then you'll find. Keep on knocking, right? It doesn't say to do it one time and then give up. Some prayers are not answered because we are giving up too quickly, right? So faith requires that we pray with persistence. And so in Ephesians 6, after we put on the whole armor of God, Paul says to pray with persistence, right? Pray at all times, on every occasion, for all believers. So we're praying for other believers, not just ourselves, not just our family and our finances. We're praying for all believers because we're all in this battle together, right? But to pray with persistence, without ceasing, right? So he says to pray at all times. So we must remain faithful. When we are in a battle, we don't just give up very quickly. We have to remain and endure and pray and keep praying and keep praying until the will of God comes to pass, right? Pray that God's will be done. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Pray for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for the will of God to come, right? Let your will be done, right? So it is God's will that we may be healed, and we pray and we keep praying for that. So let's move on to something that I think is very important as believers when we're praying, as I just mentioned, that we pray according to the will of God. So we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. So Jesus told his disciples to pray, let your will be done. And so when we're praying, that we don't have a motive just to get prayers answered for the benefit of ourselves, right? But we need to make sure that, am I praying the will of God, right? Do I have a desire in my heart to accomplish the will of God, to fulfill the desires of God's heart, right? And so we are very me-centered, right? It's all about me, what God's going to do for me and in my family, my finances, my health, my this, my that, which there's nothing wrong with praying for that, right? He said later on, give us today our daily bread. But notice the kingdom of God and doing and praying according to the will of God, that his will be done, come first before our daily bread. Right. So we have to have the right order in how we pray, that our ultimate motive is for the will of God. Right. And so we're going to take a look at that. What does it mean when the Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart? Right. Does that mean that when I have a desire, that it's God's job to make it happen? Right. So that's how we typically hear these verses are being taught or described. But later on in life, you start to realize as we mature in our walk with God that this life was never about us to begin with, right? So let's take a look at what that means. So Psalm 20, verse 4, may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed, right? And so I've heard this verse in churches, you know, multiple times, that God will grant your heart's desires. So whatever desires you have, just pray for that and God will make it happen, right? He will grant your heart's desires. So we're going to look at what does that actually mean? Do we pray according to what our heart desires, right? Is that what this verse is saying? So as I mature in my walk with God, I start to realize that we are looking at this verse very wrong, okay? May he grant your heart's desires and make your plan succeed, okay? So we're going to take a look at that and see, when we pray in the middle of the battlefield that we're in, all of our pieces of the armor is on. And Paul says to pray at all times, right? But how do we pray, right? And so are we praying for what our hearts want or what God's will wants? So let's see what that means exactly. So we're going to take a look at another verse that says something similar. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. So meditate on that for a second. So we looked at Psalm 20, verse 4. It says, may he grant your heart's desires. So the desires that you have in your heart, right? May God grant those desires, right? So where do the desires in our hearts come from, right? So in verse 4 in chapter 37 in Psalms, it says, take delight in the Lord, right? So your desire is for God. You're taking delight in God. And he says, and he will give you your heart's desires, right? And so in verse 4, it says he will grant your heart's desires, which means that he will make it happen. He will grant your heart's desires. But over here, it says he will give you your heart's desires. There's a very subtle difference, but these verses are not the same, right? So one of them is he will accomplish, he will fulfill, right? He will grant the desires of your heart, right? Whatever desires I want, obviously not, right? So if we want evil, wicked desires, God will not grant those desires because it is not in his will, right? So what does it mean when he will grant my heart's desires? He will grant whatever I wish, whatever I want. God is not a genie, right? So he does not, you don't just rub his belly and just get whatever you want out of him. And a lot of Christians have that kind of a relationship with God, where I just ask for whatever I want and hope, you know, one of the wishes stick and that he'll give me something that I want. That is not the will of God. He is the power. He's the authority. We are his servants. We are his representatives. We are the servants of God. So we serve his purposes. So here, we're going to look at that one more time. He says, may he grant your heart's desires and make all of your plans succeed, right? So some people might think, oh, whatever I want, God's going to give it to me. But you have to read other passages to really get a good understanding of what that means. So he will grant your heart's desires if, based on Psalm 37, verse 4, he's the one who gave you those desires. Do you see the difference? Right? So take delight in the Lord. So somebody who's living to please God, right? They are delighting in the Lord. God will place his desires in your heart. In Psalm 20, verse 4, he will grant those desires and then your plans will succeed. Why? Because those desires came from him. Right? And so it's important to remember that when we're praying, Paul says to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who dwells in you, you are going to automatically pray his will because it is his Spirit that is driving your desires, right? And so if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have God, it is God who lives in you. And if you delight in the Lord and you're living to please him, you will have the same desire that he has because his Spirit is in you and he's the one who's placing his desires in you. Right? So that's why it says here that he will make all of your plans succeed, but that's not true for every Christian. Not every Christian's plans succeed. We know that. And when you're in faith, God will make your plan succeed because you're living according to his will. Right? So that's what these verses mean. We don't just pray for whatever we want. We pray for whatever God wants. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into praying according to the will of God.
Are you ready to step into your calling and destroy fear, worry, doubt, and anxiety? In Our Victory, God's Glory, author Pamela Noel describes the stop and do nothing else principle that was used by some of the most powerful people in Scripture, including David, Moses, Peter, and Daniel. This You Can't Help Yourself book reveals that success in every area of your life lies in one name.
Our Victory, God's Glory was written to support Haiti's elite medical team, a Haitian-American-owned not-for-profit organization that provides healthcare services to the poor in Haiti. Proceeds from the sale of this book will help support our efforts. The ultimate goal is to build a hospital and provide much-needed medical care services currently unavailable to those with limited access to quality healthcare.
Available at Amazon, your local bookstore, or at Trilogy.tv.